Well, first of all, I'm well aware that there's a bouncy castle and food out there. And I get to share a little bit. This is more of a talk than a sermon, per se. But it's Vision Sunday, and it's so cool to see the body at work. Amen? In all these different aspects. I just love the body of Christ when it comes together. And that's kind of what I want to talk and share a little bit about. And we got kids in here, and I think you've got some activities around it. I'm going to talk to you as well during this time. But I wanted to start with a picture. Mike and Kim are in Langley, and my wife and I were in Langley last month. It was a late night, and we got some ice cream, and we just walked around downtown Langley, which is kind of an eclectic spot. There's some cool things and some weird things, and the store was closed, but you can see this, I don't know why you can see it, Crazy Bob's Music Emporium. I still to this day don't know what Crazy Bob sells. You can see some shamrocks in the window. You can see some t-shirts and some stuffed animals, and I guess there's some music-related things in there. But I'm like, as I walked up to the door, I said, what is this place? And I see this sign. Gone on a spiritual quest, July 22nd to August 23rd. See you soon. And I said, good for you, Bob. Next time I'm Langley, I'm going to go in there and ask him how his spiritual quest was. But I like that because we are all on a spiritual journey, right? And the life of Christ is that. Sometimes we narrow it down to these moments. You have to do this, you have to do that. And but what is the body of Christ like? And a few weeks ago, Pastor Mike, when he was finishing up our Proverbs series, quoted this verse from Proverbs 19. So what is God's plan for us and you? Oh, sorry. You can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. So we can be busy, we can get great ideas, but whose purpose prevails? The Lord's purpose. Eh? And so the question is, what is God's plan for us? This church has done some great work on vision statements and on missions. They're very strong. To display God's wisdom, and it's to make him known and to reconcile all things to God through Jesus. And they're great statements, and they center us, and they focus us on the work that we want to do together as a body. But my question is, how do we actually do it? So I want to talk just briefly about some really cool passages in Ephesians 4 that give us an amazing picture of what it means of how we as a body can make Christ known and how we can reconcile all, how God reconciles all things to him through Jesus. So there's just one short verse or one short line from a verse. It's not even a full verse. Ephesians 4:1 says, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. So that word calling, kids, is what does that mean? It means that we are invited into, and it actually, this is in the Greek, it says we are invited into a divine invitation to embrace salvation in the kingdom of God. So it's like God is inviting us into this journey, into this calling. Just like Crazy Bob, we can say Crazy South Abbotsford Church is into this journey, into this calling of what we've received. And so what does that look like? So when we talk about vision and planning, I'm all into that. I love the planning process. I love the visioning process. But if that verse that Mike referred to is that we can make all the plans, but God's purposes are going to reveal. So let's find out what God's purposes are. And that's where the book of Ephesians really is an amazing thing. In chapter 1, verse 10, Paul writes, the verse before, God has now revealed to us his mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill his own good plan. So God has a plan. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and earth. So God has this master plan, right? The Bible writers at the time didn't understand. They knew a Messiah was coming, but they didn't understand the work that he was doing. And Paul's like, oh, God just revealed something pretty dynamic to us, that Christ is going to unite everything in heaven and earth in the right time. So that's the big plan. Later on in chapter 3, verse 10, he goes deeper and says, God's purpose in all of this was to use the church to display his wisdom in rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. So he has a purpose for us as a church, as a body, to what? Show God's wisdom. I don't know about you, but that's a pretty big, like, whoa, Lord. I hope that I am part of that, showing this wisdom, and not the other way around. So when we get to chapter 4 of Ephesians, in that verse that I just read, it said to lead a life worthy of your calling that you've been called. And so I want to just sort of, for the next couple minutes here, just talk a little bit about this, because this is very important. I kind of want to plant some thoughts about one component of this journey. We use a word around here called discipleship. We want to be disciples of Christ. And we're in a season, so I've been here since May, and I've met with a lot of people, had amazing times. But one of the words that keeps coming up is we want to dig into discipleship. And so this journey that we're on, I really believe is an important season ahead of us for us collectively to say, Lord, what do we mean by discipleship? So kids, the word disciple is, it comes from that time. And rabbis, who are the religious leaders, would take students. And you would basically spend your days with the rabbi. And your goal was to become like the rabbi. And that was the whole purpose. And so Jesus is called a rabbi. And so when he said, go and make disciples, what he's saying is, go and be Christ-like. So we're all called to be Christ-like, right? So here's the question then that I want to spend the last couple of minutes on. What if that's our goal, if that's our working definition of discipleship, to be Christ-like, we say to make him known in all we do. Those are the words we use around here. It's that same thought. What is Christ-like? Well, it's obvious. He was loving, he was powerful, he was God, he was caring, he was all these different things. But stop for a minute. If we're supposed to be Christ-like, what is Christ-like? And Paul goes on in chapter 4 of Ephesians to actually give us an amazing picture. So if we're supposed to be like Christ, his disciples, then we need a picture of what he's like, a way to explain him. And that's what Paul does in this chapter. He talks about us. He talks about how Christ gave these gifts to the church. Okay, so this is a very specific reference. There's lots of gifts in the Bible. But this particular passage saying he gave these five gifts to the church, to you and me. And so we know collectively, as we go through these five gifts, that that is a picture of who Jesus is. But he also says something in here, is that he gave each of these gifts to he gave one of these gifts to each of us. And so we have this picture of us as a church using these gifts to who? To show what Christ is like. That's the challenge before us always, is to do it in a sense of as it says here, humility and gentleness and patience, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. And everything you do, be united in the Spirit, right? We are united because of the best gift of all is the Holy Spirit for us to be able to do this. So I want to go down what these gifts are. And sometimes I think we just kind of read it and move on. And we've probably heard this passage. It's in verse 11 of chapter 4. So these are the gifts Christ gave the church. The apostles. So I'm not going to use those words because those words can send us down a different thing, right? The word apostle can mean different things for different people, but it really means to be sent. Do you know that each one of us is sent? And the question is, who are you sent to? And what's the best way to reach them? When I visited Mike and Kim at the video that you just saw one day, and had a brief talk with Kim in between screaming kids around. And they feel very called to that neighborhood. She stepped into the role of parent advisory committee and are very committed to the neighborhood, to the school. They feel sent to that group. You may feel sent to your work or the big sent, you're a missionary around the world or in different parts of the world. But who are you sent to? Kids. The Lord places things on our heart, and that's what we're called to be obedient to. There may be a kid in your class that doesn't quite fit in and gets bugged and picked on, and you see that and you see they're sad, and the Lord is saying, go say a kind word to them. Right? Who are you sent to, and what is your strategy or plan to do that? I was talking to someone else here, and this year they know they're sent to a couple different places. One is the soccer field with parents of the kids' soccer team, and very specifically want to get to know that aspect. And so are we a sending church? Do we recognize those things? Do we journey along with each other? The second gift they mention here is the word prophet. And again, that word can kind of mean many different things to many different people. We have the prophets of the Old Testament and prophetic words and all those kind of things. But it really means about hearing from God. And some people have an amazing connection with God and hear him in a very unique way, and that's very powerful. But the question for us as a body is, are you hearing from God? And do you know what to do and how to respond to it? Right? This is the discipleship journey. I was talking to someone the other day, and I asked them that. How do you hear from God? Oh, I don't hear from God. I'm not really sure I do. And I said, well, tell me about how you came to know God and some of the things that he did in your life. And this guy went on and talked about these things, and it was incredible. And I said, that's God speaking to you. Oh, yeah. Never even realized that. Never even understood that. So part of our discipleship journey is learning how we hear from God and then how do we respond to it. The third gift that he gives is evangelist. And again, this is another word that we get confused. We think we have to be Billy Graham or stand up on the street or share the gospel, and it freaks us out, right? No way I could do that. It's too embarrassing. I don't know what to say. I'll fumble. I'll look silly. All those kind of things. But let's wipe away those fears and those thoughts. And what is an evangelist? It's simply, do you know the God story? And do you know the Jesus story? And how do they weave within your life, your story? Can you say that? Can you understand that? Do you understand that on a deep way? You know, Jesus spoke in stories, right? Because people understand stories. And I think a lot of times as we understand and connect with the God story and the Jesus story, and then how it intertwines with our story, that's the work of an evangelist. And again, some are super gifted in that, but we're all called to be that. The fourth gift is the gift of pastors, it says here, but I'm going to use the word shepherd. because Jesus was a shepherd. And he would leave the 99 and go find the one, right? That sense of a caring community. Do we know how to be part of a caring community? And this is where, and I'll admit it, as a follower of Christ, I mess up the most, is how am I part of a caring community? And how do I promote healing within all of that? Right? That's my job, is to, yeah, I'm going to differ on many different things with different people. But the Lord is showing us that part of Him, part of Jesus' work, was to create a caring, safe community. That's a very part of who we are. You know, the impact of things like that. I just, as I'm talking here, I'm just realizing there's a community in Saskatchewan that got just horrific things happened this past week. And we need to learn how to connect and pray for that community. And I just think that, you know, the power of community and healing go hand in hand. And so the question that I'm going to challenge you to ask, and maybe it's a loved one, someone you trust, is, do I promote healing or do I cause harm? Right? I would only do that in a very safe environment. But this is something with that the Lord wants us to be committed to and understanding in all of that. Lastly, the gift of teacher. Now, many of you go, well, I'm not a teacher. Jesus was a teacher, obviously. We know that, the Sermon on the Mount. But really, teaching is, do you know how to bring understanding from the Bible? That's what it's about. And some people can do it great. Some people can do it from up here. Some people can do it in a class, and they're just born teachers, and we all know those. But do you know how to bring understanding, how to equip others using Scripture, whether it's your kids, whether it's a coworker? One of the prayers I've had over the last couple of years, just in my personal journey, is, Lord, I want to be able to hear from you in the moment in conversations, which is a very scary thought for me, is how do I hear? And so he put me in working with a recovery house in Surrey. I have no idea how I got connected. I just got a call one day from them and saying, hey, can you do a step 5 for someone? If you're not familiar with the 12-step AA recovery and many other 12-step programs, step 5 is where the client has written out all the harms that has been done to them, that they've committed, all the restitution that they feel they need to do, and they confess it to a advisor, a spiritual advisor. And it's an hour or two of very intense hearing people's story. And what the Lord has totally challenged me personally with, and these guys are a gift to me. They're very thankful that I come, but I'm blessed by them because they're truly trying to make a difference in their life and change their life. And I'm praying like mad, what would Jesus want to say to this guy right now in this situation? And you know what? It's always different. It's always that. One guy was like, I just thought of the verse in Hebrews where it's like, we have a high priest that understands our struggles. And I said, do you know that God understands these? And I told him about Jesus and his struggles being a human and God and all the struggles that he did. And the guy goes, I've never thought about that. But if I use that every single time, it just becomes religious talk. And so I'm always asking, Lord, what is the word you have for these guys at this time? And it's been an amazing experience over and over and over again just to see, I touch these guys' life in their part of the journey, and what does the Lord want to do at that point? So this is how all of this works together. And so why does Paul write it out this way? Why does he give us these five gifts? There's two reasons. One is so that we become united in our faith and that we'll be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. This is the picture that he's giving us, that we are to be disciples. So a disciple is being Christ-like. That's our working definition. And then we have to say, what is Christ like? And he pieces his pictures of these five gifts that Christ gave to us to do that. And then we will no longer be immature like children, being tossed and blown by every new teaching and everything that comes along. There's a lot going on in this world, isn't there? We need to be grounded in that, and we need to press into these five gifts. And so I guess I wanted just to lay this out for you today to sort of like start thinking about it. Talk to me if you think, this is crazy, Garth. I kind of like what you said, but I disagree or whatever. Like, this is the kind of season that we're in. We have a lot of plans between over the next couple months for us as a church in many different ways to press into all of this. And I just want to briefly tell you about them and then invite the worship team to come back up. So in 2 months from now, November 15th to be exact, we are having a town hall meeting, and we want to present in story form what we mean by this journey of making Christ known in all we do. What is our discipleship plans? How are we going to have that shape what we're looking for in a new senior leader? There's a lot of other work going on in reconciliation and other areas of leadership development and things like that. But this is just one area that we want to press into. So, and that's a meeting for everyone who's involved. But backing that up, we have a number of different events. We have a discipleship retreat in mid-October, and we'll be putting all this out. For anyone who's interested in pressing into the whole discipleship thing, we have leadership on the life groups from Norm Nickel and Sam Dick and Crystal Bartel. We have women's groups forming. We have men's ministry things starting to talk. And we need to say, you know, so these are all adding to the conversation around all of that. The council and the pastors are going on a retreat later this month in September. And one of the topics will be about what do we mean by discipleship? And how do we really meaningfully do that as a group? There's involvement in your life group. There's involvement in other ministries that are going on. There's personal discipleship. I think of the two things, soul care, which it's been on the slides, and Freedom Sessions are amazing discipleship journeys. So I guess my encouragement today is this season, we want to be very intentional about this topic and about what as Paul says, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Right? We heard today that we're 90 years old. So what's the next 90 years going to be? What intentional things does the Lord have for us? And you know what? It's good. It really is good. We have a good God. And so I guess I want to challenge you for that. So worship team, come on back up. And begin a conversation around all of this. So what we're going to do is, I think the worship team is going to lead us in one thing. We always have the prayer team available down here. So please come. And if any of these questions challenged you to, you know, pray through them or talk through them with someone. But this is an amazing season for this church and this kickoff. It's not just a kickoff of a new season starting in September. I think the Lord has a lot of big things, and the heart is here, the vision is here. So I want to encourage us to walk and journey this together. At the end, Jeremiah is going to come and sort of dismiss us and give us all the instructions for afterwards. But just a blessing on you. I just want to pray, Lord, thank you for this place, this body that desires to make you known. And give us a very clear picture of who you want us to be and how we reflect your name. And to be Christ-like and to seek what you're like in all of this. In Jesus' name, amen.